Great to be with you. I've been here a few times over the past couple of decades since we're talking about going back in time. In fact, your church, this church, was the first church that came on board with us when we moved to British Columbia. So I want to just thank you for faithful support and prayer all these years. I think Jim Barber was the pastor then. People remember Jim Barber in this room? All right. And I did a cold call, you know. It's like, all right, I'm gonna call this church up way up north. Looks like a good church to call. and Dave Wells had spoken about the vision of campus ministries and how Nancy and I were going to be sewing in to university students' lives and the staff. And so I made this cold call and I said, "Oh, hey, Pastor Barber. My name's John Ingalls, and I moved here recently, and I thought I would just call you to see if you'd be interested in talking about the vision we have for the campuses in Canada." And Jim said right away, he goes, "Oh, John, I'm so glad you called. We already have you on our missions plan for this coming year." And I was just blown away. It's like, that's the best cold call I ever had. So with our missionary work through the years, God is continually faithful, and so grateful for, again, this church who carries a great vision for the community, but also globally. And thanks for supporting your missionaries. I feel well loved and taken care of by Rob and the family. We had fun last night and had some good chatting. So happy 2024. Good to be with the Frozen Chosen. It's a little warmer down in, you know, where I'm at in Surrey, but I was like, wow, I do need my toque here, especially because I can number my hairs on my head easily, and I'm glad that God carries that number. I know how many there will be when we talk, so shine on, brothers in the Lord. If you're wondering about where those hairs are, they're accounted for. Anyway, great time of worship this morning, and great scripture from the Word, and great prophetic word. I feel like that just kind of sets us up for what God wants to do today. And I just want to say that the things I share today, there's a scripture in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that talks about if you're going to brag, if you're going to boast in the Lord. I'll do a little bit of that today. There's nothing about this ordinary human being other than the Holy Spirit. And that's true of all of us. Aren't we just, we're ordinary people. Introverts, extroverts, some in between that are called ambiverts. They're on both sides. But God has created us all uniquely to carry in this body His Spirit. And I want to talk about that a bit today from the scripture. I told Rob last night, I said, the Lord's just laid on a new message on my heart for this church, just to build on the fire that's already there, you know, fan it into flame, as the scripture was read this morning. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. I'm going to be talking about those things out of the book of Acts, and I'm going to be sharing a few stories in the service today, and then more stories and info later on in our luncheon. So I hope that you'll be able to join us. Well, what's my story to start with? Well, I became a follower of Jesus at about 12 years old. Now, I was adopted into a large family. I won't get into that. I was in a foster home for 8 years before that. So that was a blessing. I wasn't bounced around. But I was adopted into this family. And that was significant for me because I never really had a father figure in my life. My foster father was great. But he was in his golden years, in his retirement years, and my foster parents wanted to give their best years of their life to pouring into a young child like myself at that time. And it was time for me to move on, so I was adopted. And then I began to go to church, and my parents actually dropped us kids off at church, and they went and had coffee. I mean, they weren't really interested in church, but my adopted dad had made a promise to his mother-in-law that, if you're marrying my daughter, you're going to take my grandchildren to church. You can marry her if you do that. So that was the deal. So they took us to church. We got saved. And later my parents came into the kingdom of God, really as a result of the gospel living out with their kids. And so I'm grateful for that heritage. So I'm a first generation Christian. I don't come from a pastor's home. I come from a rough background. Many of us do. So that's the context of me going to university. And I was a bit broken. There was loss in my life. My foster parents had died. My foster mother died in a car wreck that we were in. And it was traumatizing, you know, for a kid. And I carried a lot of these kind of hurts into my teen years. And, you know, counseling wasn't a big thing back then, right? So if you got counseling, like, you just kept it on the down low. Like, you don't want to talk about counseling because then people think you're weird, right? So I carried all this stuff, you know, for years. And when I got to university, I got connected with a student group on campus. And my life forever changed after that. I didn't realize what God was doing on the campus, but it was really a bit of a revival. Now let's take Coastal Mountain College, okay? Is there any students here that go Coastal? Anybody here? Raise your hand. Okay, oh good, excellent. And I read on the website there's about 400 students that go to that church, if that's correct. So the university that Nancy and I went to, my wife, had a population of about 10,000 students. Okay, now get this. This is when I talk about revival, I didn't know it was a revival. A revival is like God just rebirthed something to a greater level. And so on Friday nights, we would meet in the lecture hall at Arnson Hall, Western Washington University down in Bellingham, Washington. And we'd have 400, sometimes 400 plus students worshiping together, raising their hands. And I came from a Baptist background. Oh, I let it out, Baptist. Got lots of good Baptist friends. But I didn't hear much about the Holy Spirit. I didn't hear much about the gospel. I don't remember it. You know, I was pretty bored in church growing up. But when I went to this university student group, they were all raising their hands, you know. And I was just like, whoa, what is this? And then there was a prophetic word, the prophetic words with these young adults, you know, in the lecture hall. And I was just like, whoa, this is so different from anything I'd experienced. But over time, the Holy Spirit continued to work on me. And every time I was worshiping, I found myself worshiping just like we were doing at church this morning, a different kind of worship than I experienced in my mainline church. There was something I feel like God was just stirring and breaking in me, and I couldn't understand it. It was just like, God, it was just like something was dying inside, and I think that dying, that death was all that kind of old hurt and stuff that I was carrying. And so it's transformational. Worship is so transformational. And I found myself one time alone in my apartment, and I was praying, and I was frustrated. I was like, God, I want to go to the next level, you know, and knowing you, I don't know how to express that. I don't know what to say. I feel still kind of depressed. Lord, can you just help me? And I was going on and on like this, and pretty soon I began just raising my hands and then speaking in a language that had no clue of what I was saying. And I didn't know at the time what was going on. And I broke through in this amazing speech, and that darkness and that cloud kind of lifted off of me. And that was really the place of my spirit baptism, and the place where God began just to assure me of his sonship and the healing that he was doing in my life. Okay, that's a bit about my story. We all have stories, and I love to hear the stories. I'm sitting next to Vera over here, and she's telling me a little bit about her story. I'll try to remember to share that. Some of you probably know that story. She said I could mention it. But everything changes when we give our lives to the Lord and His Holy Spirit comes, right? So we're talking about time travel a little bit, and so we're going to go back in time to a galaxy far, far away. Okay, you know where that comes from. So we'll be focusing on Scripture this morning from Acts, like I mentioned. But here's a trivia question for you, okay, on the spot. Who was the first Christian to launch ministry at an academic institution? Who do you think? First Christian. No. But thank you. Okay, you have to go back 2,000 years. And the answer isn't Jesus, okay, that I know of. But it's what Jesus did in the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19. So that's where we're going to camp a little bit in the Scripture, and I'll kind of reference back and forth to what God's doing on campus currently. But I love this context because it's Paul's third missionary journey. And he took this trip that took like 4,500 miles over a period of 5 to 6 years. Amazing. Now that's going from like Los Angeles to New York. It's about the same distance, but on foot, in boats, right? And you just think of that context then and our context now, and it's just hard to get your mind around it, right? And he was in like 30 plus cities and towns on his third missionary journey. And he stops at a place called Ephesus, and Ephesus is in Turkey. And in particular, in Ephesus, the culture there worshiped their god Artemis, who was a version of the goddess Diana from Rome. And this place was an amazing place, a culture of commerce, of idol making. They made all kinds of little Artemis, you know, things that you could hang around your neck or worship or whatever. And that was big business in that day. And so Paul lands there, and there's a really cool story in the first few verses. And I'm going to just read it here in verses 1 through 6. So while Paul was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" he asked them. "No," they replied, "we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." "Then what baptism did you experience?" he asked, and they replied, "The baptism of John." And Paul said, "John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later," meaning Jesus. "And as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and other tongues and prophesied." Amazing. Sets foot in Ephesus, finds a group of believers, finds out they've been baptized in the Old Testament way, and lays his hands on them. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, did he do this? I don't think so. But he laid his hands on them. There's some transference that goes on with the laying on of hands. And I think at the end of this service, we'll have an opportunity to do a bit of that as the Lord leads. Well, as I mentioned, I hadn't really experienced the Holy Spirit, and I shared that story with you about my experience in my apartment. But let's go on. What's the rest of this scripture say? And how is it that Paul ended up being the first campus missionary in Ephesus? So verse 8, "Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months." So he took the believers with him and preached in the synagogue, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some became stubborn, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way, which is the church or the Holy Spirit-filled believers. So Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for the next 2 years so that people through the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. It kind of reminds me of a story came to mind when I was on a campus early on in my ministry. And we were doing an evangelistic outreach on campus. And we're handing out tabloids, you know, like National Enquirer. I don't know. But, you know, it was gospel-sized tabloids. They weren't like little cards. And they had stories in there of, you know, students that were talking about what Jesus meant in their life. And we were handing these out, you know, to anyone who would take them. And then we had an event that we would invite them to. I think it was, Is There Life After Death? It was a talk on life after death. And we packed out a lecture hall. We went together with Power to Change and did a collaborative outreach together. So that was fun. But as we were doing kind of the promo stuff and handing these evangelistic literature out, I was outside in the middle of campus and, you know, doing this. And a man older than myself, I was like, uh-oh, here comes a professor. And I'm not kidding. If you've ever had this happen, have you ever had somebody get in your face? He was this close, all right? He got in my face. He was so mad. He told me to get off his effing campus now. And, sorry, it was just, you know, a person who didn't know Jesus, obviously. And God just gave me a calmness through it all. You know, it was like, okay, that must be the Holy Spirit. But I said, you know, we have permission to do this, actually. Sorry if this offends you. No, he stormed off. And it was probably 4 or 5 days later that we crossed paths again. I wasn't handing out evangelism literature at that point. He came up to me and he said, you know, I'm sorry for how I acted. I was like, Holy Spirit moment, right? That's what it was maybe a little like for Paul in the synagogue, but I think it was a lot harsher. He spent 3 months in the synagogue speaking and preaching persuasively, but there were some people there that just did not like him. If you are a Christian, you know, that's something that we all have to deal with. Sooner or later, this message that we carry can offend people. We don't want it to offend people. We don't want to offend them. But our very message creates a conviction in people. And the Holy Spirit comes and brings that conviction. In fact, we can't go through the whole chapter 19 today. But if you were to take time and read the rest of that chapter this week, you would find at the end of this chapter, a complete riot occurs because of the gospel. The city goes into uproar, and his very life is in danger. It all starts out with this group of believers who get filled with the Holy Spirit and then are compelled to go to this secular environment and bring Christ into an institution. And it's interesting, Tyrannus Hall? Okay, Tyrannus, you know what a Tyrannosaurus is, right? And they're at the top of the food chain. Well, that's the literal meaning of the word. Like, maybe Dr. Tyrannus owned his hall, and he's like, Paul, you can use this hall, because there were many people in the city, officials, that were followers of Jesus. Or maybe, you know, Paul found the money to pay for it. We don't know. But we'll call him Dr. Tyrannus. And there they are on this campus, and they aren't getting the same kind of pushback that they got in the synagogue. In fact, they're in Tyrannus Hall for 2 years. So something good must have been happening in Tyrannus Hall, because later it says in the chapter that the whole region of Asia heard the message of the gospel. What an amazing thing, huh? And we have that special element in the church today. God is ascending God. And he fills us with his Spirit like he did those believers, and pushes us out to carry his gospel. We are then sent, the sent ones. And so Paul is a first campus missionary. Isn't that awesome? It wasn't my idea. So we're doing the same things on campus that Paul did, having discussions and talking to people about the Lord. So this next slide here shows a few pictures of that. We have big barbecues to kick off the year, raise lots of money, have hundreds of students come out for food. They love food. That's in the middle of the UBC campus. Got that for free. Like, it was just massive amount of students. Giving away gum. Whatever we can do to help serve the needs of students on campus. Gum, you know, that's good. It has a little sticker on there with our QR code where they can find us on campus. I'm actually wear another hat besides my national role. And I'm a chaplain, actually, at Kwantlen Polytechnic University, official chaplain. And that's the office they've given us there. They pay for the office. It's like my Tyrannus Hall. And students, faculty, and staff come and visit. I have Muslims and indigenous people and all kinds of people who don't know about Jesus that would just want to talk. And the school gives us great PR. One of their values, get this, okay, there's six values that Kwantlen Polytechnic has. You know, there's education, there's mental health, there's emotional health, there's career health, but there's also spirituality. That is one of their values they believe in, and they got us this multi-faith office. And they put our events and activities online for free. Isn't that incredible, the favor? And that's just not a one-off story. That kind of favor is happening across many of our campuses. And I'll talk a little bit more about the reach of that favor when we're in lunch together. God has given us an amazing reach. It's just the sheer numbers is amazing. And I'll tip my hand a little bit. But this year, last year, 2023, January through October, we track all these numbers. We were able to help serve 45,000 students across Canada, one-to-one. And I'll talk more about what that looks like, but these are just amazing doors that God is giving us. So I share that to encourage you. So our scripture, again, Paul and the believers stayed with the contentious Jewish accusers, but after 3 months they left to going on mission to the uncontentious Tyrannus Hall for 2 years. And that is our sweet spot in campus ministry. And we are on mission, sent from the church world to the campus world. When you walk out these doors today, and you've heard this from your pastor, you are entering your mission field. Yep, when I get on that plane today, that looks like it's been delayed. I'm asking God, is there someone I can sit by to be a blessing to? And it's amazing the doors that he opens. When we leave this place of worship, he's sending us into the world. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, that's so great. So, I'll talk a little bit about the history here. In 1967, or in 1961, a Christian student club was started by a couple of church pastors because they believed, just like this campus that we have here, they believed that there were students that needed to be cared for and hear the love of God. And so they got together with a few students, and they encouraged the students, and the students got a club constitution form, and they got the students they needed, 6 or 10 students, and they formed a club on campus. That campus ministry has continued until this day. It's a thriving campus ministry on the Rock with 80 students. And Steve Grimes is the lead campus pastor there. And he's on our national guiding group team as well. in 1961. In 1967, a BC woman named Bernice Girard. Anybody remember Bernice Girard's name? Yeah, a few head shaking, yes. Bernice Girard, an indigenous woman leader who had great influence on the city of Vancouver. One of the things that she did was become a campus chaplain, and she was sent to the UBC and SFU world to initiate evangelistic outreach, to gather students in, to care for them, to mentor them, to bring the gospel to them. So this started a while ago on our campuses, back in the 60s. So the Holy Spirit was really at work for like probably a good 3 decades before Nancy and I came, which in this next picture, you'll see the guy in the pineapple shirt. That's actually me. I wore that proudly back then because my parents took us all on a all expenses paid to Hawaii with the whole family. And so I was like so excited about that. Anyway, minutia, who cares? So Nancy and I called us from Montana, and we joined this campus ministry team in 2003. How did that happen? It's interesting. Oftentimes, the Lord will speak to me through dreams, and I'm talking about dreams when I'm sleeping, because I think that's the time where I'm probably listening and open the most, and God will actually speak to me. Maybe some of you have had dreams you feel like God has spoken to you. Well, anyway, this was one of those dreams. And there was, just before that, there was a prophetic word that was given. And the 6'7" Olympic basketball player was speaking at one of our conferences. And so we invited him into our home. And he gave a prophetic word over Nancy and I. And we were living in Montana at this time. So we were doing campus ministry in the U.S. for a good 2 decades before we moved here. And he closed his eyes, and I'll never forget this, stretched out his hand, and he goes, "I see a gift coming from the north." And I'm like, what? Okay, that made no sense. Short time after that, I had this dream, and it was an invitation for a job where I could write my own job description. I was like, oh, wow. I was happy where I was at. I woke up and I told Nancy and I said, wow, this is a dream, you know? That sounds fun. Okay, 3 days later, I get a call from British Columbia, and the person talking to me is saying, you know, John, we've heard your name and we would really like you to consider coming to Canada. Gift from the North? And by the way, since it's a new full-time role, you'll just be able to write your own job description. I was like, oh, okay, I think we're called. That was a Holy Spirit moment. And church, you have been such a great part of this journey over the years. We love what God is doing. I shared this slide with you back in 2006. I've been here maybe this is my third or fourth time. 2006, I shared this slide. 16 POC workers on 13 campuses. 1.3 million students. Today, there are over 2 million students. And in that number, there's probably 400,000 international students from almost every country in the world. God has literally brought the world to our backyard. Look at what God has done today. Some 40 campuses, 40 plus campuses across Canada, with 70 district and national POC campus workers. To the glory of God. That's what God does. Amen? But we're still scratching the surface. We haven't arrived. Today there are some 413 post-secondary institutions, many of them have no witness on them. And this is our core team here. We gathered last June for the first time in 4 years. Yes. Still recovering from the pandemic in June. But we were gathered together across the land. And God just came and the Holy Spirit came and met with us in such great ways. So as we camped in the scripture in Acts and connected it to the campus, what does it mean for us now? As I mentioned, God is ascending God. We find that scripture in Genesis chapter 2. That he created Adam and Eve and sent them to steward and care for the Garden of Eden. And you know what happened after that. They disobeyed God. He gave them the choice out of his great love. Created them in his image, man and woman. But they disobeyed. And God then, through his amazing plan, sent his son, Jesus. He sent his son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, we know this scripture, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent his son. He sent Adam and Eve. And then Jesus, when Jesus left, was crucified and resurrected, he sent the Holy Spirit to transform the lives of believers. John 16:7, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And then as we come to Acts chapter 1:8, you will receive power. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. We are empowered by the Spirit and sent. God is a sending God. And even in the Old Testament, you know, we bring the Old and New Testament together. The thread of redemption, the gospel, stretches through the whole Bible. And the prophet Isaiah was overhearing a conversation in heaven in chapter 6. And he heard the voice of the Lord asking, whom shall I send? It's God's question. It's God's question today. Whom will I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah being available, Isaiah in that place of having his hands open, whatever it would mean, he said, Lord, here am I. Here I am. Send me. It's that same sending spirit, I believe, is in this church. And he's going to continue to empower us as we welcome Holy Spirit. As we just say simply, Lord, here am I. I'm available. Send your spirit. God, there's things and obstacles that are looming and too large for me. There may be opposition in your own family. There may be hardship at work or in your marriage. But Lord, send me. Make me a vessel. Fill me with your spirit. That goodness, kindness, the fruit of the spirit may flow out of me to my community, to our campuses, to our jobs, to our families. And so we just close your eyes for a moment, and Pastor Rob is going to come and we'll close this part of the service.